Hallelujah. Praise God. I've enjoyed the blessings of the Lord thus far, and I appreciate the open door. Thank you, Brother Wampler, for the invitation. My voice is a little weak. They about preached me to death at home on Sunday, and I found that to be true. And I appreciate the open door. I thank God for your pastors. Brother and Sister Wampler have been dear friends of ours. And they've been real close to us, and we have enjoyed their fellowship so much. Brother and Sister Piercy opened their pulpit to us twice, two different occasions over in Long Chapel. You remember those days, Brother and Sister Piercy? God bless you. We certainly enjoyed those. We had two babies then, and we've got three teenagers now. So it has been a while, and we appreciate the Piercies, and they pastored a place where we pastored, Red Oak, Oklahoma. And, of course, Moody Hicks, I've heard of this man all my life and hadn't met him till about, seems like about 3 years ago we met, and I can't remember just where, but we have met, I think. But, Brother Hicks, it's good to be in service with you. Also with the Wheelers. Brother Wheeler, I think I remember meeting you in Wagoner, Oklahoma, and also in Spiro, Oklahoma. I used to pastor First Assembly 18 years ago. So we were a bit younger then. But tonight I would like to say that the Lord is good to us, and I believe the Lord has given a message to me for this service tonight. And I think when we leave tonight, we need to go home rejoicing. We need to go home saying, God is good. God is wonderful. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? I was thinking, and I told my people Sunday morning, I want you to notice that God is here. It is the Lord's Day. And I want some of you to know that on Sunday, come 12 o'clock, we get fidgety, and some want to go home and get into that roast or go out to be the first ones in the line at the cafeteria or the steakhouse. But I want you to know this is the Lord's Day. And I told them that sometimes you can pass by the Baptist Church or the Church of God, and 15, 20 after 12, they're still going. But the Assembly of God people seem to have to get home at 12 o'clock. Well, you know, I was thinking, sitting here just a moment ago, people go to the movies and they'll stay there till 8 or 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock sometimes. And so it's still early. It's just 15 after 8 according to the time back there. And I don't know just how long I'll preach. Hopefully I'll be finished by the top of the hour. And I do want you to back me up tonight. I appreciate the amens and the praise the Lords and the sick him Lord and all of those things that go along with Pentecostal preaching. And I would like to express my gratitude to you, all of you people. I have preached here before several times, and you were so gracious to us to end the warm fellowship and coming around these altars and shaking hands and with the warm comments, and I say thank you, and it's good to be back with you tonight. Also, one other person I met a little while ago, renewed a friendship and almost a family relationship, and that was Walter Fisher. Walter came up and said, "Aren't you Jackie?" And So I am. We knew each other from back at Anadarko, and Walter and I both have the same uncle. He's his uncle's nephew, and I'm my uncle's nephew, but it's on the opposite sides of the family, so no blood kin there. But Walter, it's good to see you all tonight. God bless your heart. Amen. I hope to preach something a little upbeat tonight. I feel led of the Holy Spirit, so if you will, turn with me to the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter. I'd like to read one verse of scripture there, then turning to the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. Amen. I can't remember, Brother Wheeler, just where it was, but I heard you preach one time, and I tell you, the thing that impressed me was that you were a pulpiteer,
Amen. Someone said a preaching machine. I remember that, but I can't remember just where the occasion was, just where the church was. In the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, and the 12th verse. And I tonight would like for you to please get our foundation scriptures tonight. The message will mean more to you if you will get the foundation, get the scriptural background for the message. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than thee. Now, I'm in the wrong. You've already found I'm in the wrong book. That is a book I'm going to be coming to later. Let's try it again. I'll get in the right book. Joshua, the 14th chapter. Okay. I don't know if I could have preached from that one or not. And the 12th verse. All right. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardst in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. The Lord said it, didn't he? Because he said, as the Lord said, I shall be able to drive them out. Now let us turn to the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter of the book of Mark. And notice verse number 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse number 34 says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Father, I ask you to bless the ministry of the word this evening. Open hearts and lives. Help us all to be receptive to the Holy Spirit's moving this evening. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. I don't know if anyone, I'm sure people, someone has titled their message this before. And some might have a little trouble accepting this at first, but I hope by the time the message is over tonight, you will see where I'm coming from. But I would like to speak on a subject entitled, You Can Have What You Say. Now that's scriptural. That's scriptural. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said, I want you to notice that she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. A very important scripture. If you'd like to turn over there a few pages now in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, a very familiar scripture. We've heard it all of our lives, but I wonder how much we have put it into use in our everyday Christian lives. I want you to notice Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Now, I want you to notice there is at least three times in this one verse of Scripture that the Lord Jesus himself, not Peter, not James, not John, not even the great apostle Paul, but Jesus himself made this statement. He used the word saith. Now notice closely again, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, get the terminology, unto this mountain be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Now, folks, don't be afraid to say some things. Don't feel that you're getting on unfamiliar territory when you say that God is going to do something for you. If you do, you will never receive what it is you need from the Father. Jesus said, say it. Say it. Speak it. It is important. Your words are important.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They're very important. By thy words thou art justified. By thy words thou art condemned. By the confession of your mouth. Tonight I believe you can either have what you need or you can go home without what you have need of. Amen. And I know there's been a lot of misuse and abuse of these terms, but I want you to notice tonight that Pentecostal people can still receive the Bible for what it says. And if he says you can ask what you will, then neighbor, mark it down. You can have it if you'll believe it in your heart, with all of your heart and your mind. Amen. I know there's a lot of people going around confessing Cadillacs, confessing $500,000 homes, confessing all of this and that, and I guess they can confess it till the Lord comes, and the Lord honors a certain a right kind of spirit. But I want you to notice tonight, God says you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, and it shall be done. Now I ask you tonight, what is the mountain that you need cast into the sea tonight? What is the mountain in your life that you need to have cast forth from you this evening? My God still honors faith, and if you will muster the faith, if you will acquire and exercise the faith, I believe that God wants to do more for you than you are willing to ask him for tonight. Hallelujah to God. So, he said, if you'll say unto this mountain, and then saith, what things you saith shall come to pass, and then he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what you say is your faith speaking. Amen. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now notice she didn't hesitate. She said it. If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Amen. Now, there's a little story in the Bible of Israel. And Israel, the leader, Moses, sent 12 spies out, a very familiar story to all of us. And he said to these 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, you go in, you spy out the land, you see what it is like, see what kind of villages, what kind of towns they dwell in, and bring us back word again. And those 12 men went into the land for 40 days, they spied it out. And coming back through, they came through the brook Ishcol. And they cut down just one cluster of grapes, the Bible said. And it took two men to carry that cluster of grapes. If you don't believe it, read it there. It said they cut down a limb that had one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two of them. Those grapes must have been that big around, huge grapes. I guess I can say that if I want to, because it doesn't say how big they are. But if it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes, brother, it must have been quite a whopper. And so they took the pomegranates. They took of the figs. One old brother said, I think I'll get a watermelon. So he picked up an old Canaan watermelon and threw it over his shoulder, and away he came back home. They got back and they said, Moses, we went in, we spied out the land, we saw what it was. It's certainly just like God said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, and we enjoyed all of the fullness thereof. But, you want to be careful about that word. But, we can't take the land. Why? Because there are giants in the land. There are some huge fellows in that land. My, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. And we just know that we can't take the land. And so what they did, they came back and they brought a bad report. The Bible says 10 of them brought back an evil report and 2 of them brought back a good report. Now, let me ask you this evening, what is an evil report? It's a report of doubt. And what is a good report? It's a report of faith. Believe in God. Hallelujah. Saying of the Lord, you know what God said I could have? I can have it. And neighbor, if God said you can have it, you better mark it down. Because it is yours if you possess it. God has given us health. He's given us strength. He's given us power. He's given us a good life. And I believe we need to believe it by faith. Some people always going around with doubts and fears and murmuring and grumbling in their hearts, and they don't know what is going to be on the morrow, and they're so afraid. It's like a woman I had in my church in Andrews, and you may know the woman. And she was on up in years, and there's nothing wrong with that, thank God. But this particular woman, one day she was so worried. Oh, she was worried and she was disturbed. And her son came in, Brother Darrell Adkins came in and said to her, said, Mother, what in the world are you worrying about? And she said, Son, I'm just so worried because I don't have anything to worry about. Now, isn't that something to be worried about? She was a worry wart. And she said, I'm just so worried that I don't have anything to worry about. Amen. It's like the preacher who for 30 days had a long countenance, a long face. And he was moaning and groaning and walking around saying, I can't hear from God. I can't hear from God. I can't hear from God. His wife got so sick of that. So tired of his expressions of doubts and fears and not being able to hear from God. But one day, this preacher came in the house and he was all smiles. And his wife said, Oh, it's good to see you with a smile on your face. What in the world has transpired? And he said, I heard from God. I heard from God. I heard from God. And she said, You did? What did he say? He said, Shut up. And it just thrilled him to death that God had talked to him. I think God needs to get some of us down, set us on the pew or on the altar and look us straight in the eyeballs and say, Would you shut your mouth up? You've murmured and grumbled and griped and bellyached and complained far too long. What you need to do is worship me and praise me and give glory and honor to Jehovah God, for he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he desires all of your praises and your thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When we analyze what these spies were saying, 10 of them brought back this evil report. We see that they were simply saying that they couldn't take the land. They said it. They spoke it. We cannot take the land. There's giants in the land. They have walled cities. And they are men of war. And we can't take the land. You know what? When you start talking these doubts and fears and all of these things and moaning and groaning and complaining, Friend, you will never, never, never receive anything from God with that kind of disposition. You need to start praising and worshiping God. The Bible said in all things, worship the Lord. Now I know there's some financial reverses along the way. I know there's some hardships. There's some hard tacks along the way. I know there's some situations that are not too conducive to Christian victory, it seems. But my God has a reason for these things coming your way. Many are the trials and the problems and the burdens and the testings. But always remember, you will come out stronger on the other side. Amen. Your testings are to test what your metal is made of. To see what kind of Christian you really are. Someone said, you are what you are in the midst of the storm. That's what you really are. When everything in the world has gone against you and come against you, then the kind of spirit you have and attitude towards God, that's what you really are. Too many people want to fold up a camp and leave. They want to throw in the towel when the going gets rough. But I want to tell you tonight, brother and sister, if you love God with all of your heart when the going gets rough, then you're ready to serve God and live for Him and be victorious because you're ready for the battle. How many believe you're in a battle? Well, if you're in a battle, then don't expect anything but bullets and bruises. Man. Someone said it's a bed of roses all the way. Well, you just go ahead and think that if you want. It's like one preacher said, you know, there's some people always straddling the fence. And they're always going along on the fence. But you better be careful. One day you'll face a tall pole on that fence. Think about it. Fence straddlers will come across a tall pole one day. My brother and sister, God has placed us in this life and He has given us salvation. He's given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's given us preachers to help perfect the saints. And He's given us teachers and song leaders, evangelists, prophets and overseers. He's given us janitors to help us in the church. And He's given us just what we need. And if we will serve God and be faithful, we shall overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants us to increase in blessings.
Yes, He does.
And in power.
Yes.
Brother Hicks, when I first started pastoring at Perkins, Oklahoma in 1965, I had one old gentleman in that church, and that man was a thorn in the flesh. I want you to know, I thought the devil himself was attacked in me. And that ate on me night and day, because he said a few things. He didn't say them to others by themselves. He said them to me. He wasn't two-faced about it. And that disturbed me that he would criticize me. And finally, one day, I left over that situation. And you know that I got a little boot camp there. But when I went to Red Oak, they said, now you have really entered boot camp. And I did, I guess. I had a few problems. But later on in life, I have run into some real difficulties. I have faced some real giants. There have been some mountains that were 40,000 feet to the apex. And I wondered, what in the world, Lord, am I going to do? I squalled, I bawled, I cried, and I went before God, Lord, what in the world are we going to do? But you see, in every one of these battles, and in every one of these frustrations, in every one of these trials, and my Heavenly Father has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has helped me to grow stronger. And I believe tonight that God will do the same for every man, woman, boy, or girl, if he makes up his mind that he's going to serve God. God wants to help you, young person. What is the mountain in your life? What is the problem in your life? God wants to help you if you'll just talk right. If you'll just speak right. If you'll just have faith in Him. Have faith in the mighty God. Amen. So you can have what you say. Now if you would, turn to Numbers, the 14th chapter. I'm going to give you just a moment. Numbers, the 14th chapter. Now this is where I had you a while ago, but I was trying to take the 12th verse from the other chapter. Numbers, the 14th chapter. I'd like for you to notice with me verse number 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now, you may ask, what does that scripture mean? What do you want to say? Why do you want us to turn to this scripture? Well, I want you to notice that they got just what they said. They got what they asked for. And the reason I say that is they all wandered in the wilderness and died in the wilderness because they said, Would to God we had died in Egypt or had died in this wilderness. Now they spoke it with their mouths. They spoke it with their mouths. And they received it bodily. They received it fulfilled in their lives. Because they said, Would to God we had died in this wilderness. And God just took them at their word and said, All right, neighbors, you can just die in the wilderness. If you don't want the best things of God, you don't want the promised land, you don't want to go into Canaan and take the land that I have given to you, then just die out here in the wilderness because you said that's what you wanted. You can have what you say. Amen. So they all wondered and they wondered. Until all of those 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness. For 40 years they wandered until they all died. But there are two men I want you to notice. There was Caleb and there was Joshua. Yes. Not all 12 of these brought back a bad report. Now hear what old Caleb said. He said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Now why was Caleb, this little runny man, why was he able to go up and possess the land and 10 of those other people weren't? It's because they didn't have faith. You know, faith receives your blessings and doubt turns you aside. God honors faith. If you will say with your mouth and believe in your heart, not doubt in anything, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Amen. Now here's old brother Joshua said in Numbers 14 and 9. He said to this crowd, Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And then he said, The Lord is with us. Fear them not. You see, Caleb and Joshua said that God was well able to deliver them, and they didn't die in the wilderness. They were people who spoke faith. Now you can say, if you want to, well, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. I'm going to die. There's no hope for me. It's like a woman from Clinton. She's been in the hospital 3 times in Oklahoma City. And the other day she told her doctor, she said, Doctor, I just want to go home and die. So he released her to go home to die. You see, her faith is that she's going to die. Your attitude, brother and sister, has a lot to do with how you feel. And how long you live. If these guys had spoken right, they'd have lived a whole lot longer. They'd have lived a whole lot longer, but instead they died in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. Now, it's not the giants in life that defeat you. You believe it? It's not the storms in life that defeat you. If you're defeated, then you have defeated yourself. You've defeated yourself by your wrong talking, by your wrong faith, by your doubts and your fears. You have been defeated. God doesn't want us to be a defeated people. I believe we're a victorious people. Yes. You know, there's a lot of problems. I know this area has been hit really hard. We've lost 10 families this year. I know this area has been hit hard. We've gained several families back, but still we've lost more than we've gained. And the way the church grows is you have to gain more people than you lose. You're going to have a certain amount of them going to get married and have to leave mom and dad. They're going to move off to the city or someplace. But we need to gain more than we lose. Now, I know there's been a lot of problem financially, economically. People are losing their farms. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their homes, their cars. But I want to tell you, child of God, if you still have your family, if you still have God, if you still have each other, then you have everything. If you have Jesus and you have your family, you have each other. I don't care how many storms come along. Brother, you've got more than enough, for Jesus is everything to you. Hallelujah to God. He is everything to you. Glory, glory, glory to God. There's been times, Pastor, it's looked pretty bleak around my house over the last 20 years. And my wife and I would have, you know, we'd begin to kind of go, you know how you do when you get worried and scared, and, you know, and we'd go back to Calvary. We'd go back to Bethel. We'd pray. We sought God. And after a while, the silver lining would show. The Lord would roll back the clouds. Hallelujah. We would see the Son of Glory. And the Lord would speak peace into our hearts. And I would get my wife and my kids and set them down and say, I want to tell you something. We've got each other. Mama, I have you. You have me. Son and daughter, sons and daughter, we have you. You have us. We have Jesus. And it doesn't make any difference which way the tide goes. We've got more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we've got God on our side. Hallelujah to God. All of these temporal things are just that anyway. They're all going to fade and pass away. Job lost all of his millions of dollars. People thought he'd be disturbed. He said, well, so what? God gave, the Lord had taken away. Bless his name.
Hallelujah.
It's kind of hard, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Kind of hard when you're the richest man in the country and all of your dollars are gone. It's kind of hard to say, well, the Lord gave it and the Lord took it away. Bless his name anyway. And on top of that, Satan came down to afflict him with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And the Bible said he never did accuse God foolishly. Never. He never lost his integrity. You and I need to take Job as a lesson tonight, especially in the midst of the problems that our state faces today. Job just stayed true to God in spite of the problems, the economic crunch that he was in, the physical maladies that he experienced, the on the bottom. In fact, he was below the bottom. He was all the way down into the ashes, the Bible said. He kept his faith in God. And you know what he said one day? He wanted someone to touch God for him. He said, I don't need someone to come by and pat me on the back and to say some good, kind, flowery words to me. He said, I don't need that at all. What I need is someone to reach up there into heaven. God is up there somewhere. Get a hold of God for me and bring him down to meet my needs. And brother, he stayed in tune with God. He stayed on his face before God. Even his wife came out and said, you ought to curse God and die. He said, you talk as a foolish woman. And you read the last chapter of that book, he had twice as many goods in the end and had as many kids in the end. You know, I've often wondered, Brother Harvey, if his good friends did come back again to eat steak at his house. And if you don't know the scripture, it's those friends who came down and said, Job, there must be sin in your life. You must have really failed God. What is it? Fess up. I've wondered, did they come back and eat steak again at his house? They're here forever, aren't they?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ain't we having a good time going to heaven? Friends, if you got saved expecting it to be a bed of roses all the way, you'll never make it. You've got to put on the armor. You've got to put on the whole armor, the brass. You've got to take the sword and the shield and the helmet and have on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, or you're not going to make it. Because Paul said we're in a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brother and sister, there's powers out there, and they're going to come against you. And if you're not rooted and grounded in God, you will never make it. You're in a battle. We're in this thing together. But God is greater in us than he that's within the world. Amen. I'm going to shout a little bit just as sure as I'm up here. Hallelujah. You can join me if you want. But I'm feeling this thing. My God says you can lose everything and still be happy.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
After all, 10 million years from now, we'll never remember today. We'll never remember these hard times.
Right.
But brother, we'll be shouting up and down the streets of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll worship the King of Kings,
praise
the Lord of Lords, for all eternity. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah to
Amen.
God.
Amen. 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 Glory to God.
Stay in the boat.
Right.
Don't abandon ship.
Right.
So what? Everything looks bad. We've all been there. It looks bad sometimes. If anyone could have thrown in the towel, old Job could have thrown it in and said, boy, this is it. It's quits. But Caleb and Joshua said to the men, well, we're well able. We're well able. Why? He said, because the Lord is with us. And those crazy giants over there are just bread for us.
Right. Amen, amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
Now, the giants don't defeat you. The storms of life don't defeat you. You defeat yourself by your wrong confession. Amen. By your wrong thinking. The people defeated themselves. It was their own foolishness. Now, I want you to look at this again. The woman with the issue of blood got exactly what she said, didn't she? She said, if I can but touch his clothes. And she pressed in and she touched his clothes.
Yes.
And she was healed. For she had said. Jesus immediately knew that he had been touched. So she got what she said. And then these Israelites who accepted the majority report, they got exactly what they said. They died in the wilderness. They said, would God that we'd do that. And they did. They were rebellious hypocrites. They didn't have what it took. Have you got what it takes? Have you got what it takes? Friends, we haven't seen the end of this race yet. We haven't even gotten to the end of the road. And when things look bad and bleak and dark and things are in despair, you can't give up then. You may lose a brother. You may lose a sister to death. You may lose a baby to death. You may have problems in your family, but you can't give up now. Now's the time to pray more than ever. Now's the time to start confessing, my God is going to see me through more than ever before. Now is the time to say, I don't know, but my God knows. I don't know the reason why. I don't understand. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I, after I have been tried, shall come forth as pure gold. Hallelujah. My God loves me, and he will see me through. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Well, you know, I kind of like this man. I like this man, Caleb. I like this man. You see, first of all, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of the older generation to go into the promised land. Moses didn't even go in. Now, if Moses hadn't disobeyed God, when God said, speak to the rock, and he struck the rock for water to come out, he could have gone in. But he disobeyed, and he didn't go in. But now here these two boys are, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua became God's leader in Moses' stead to lead the people. And Caleb was that other brother who had such faith. He said, man, he said, y'all quit your belly aching. Well, let's just go up now. We're able. We're able. So Caleb came to Joshua one day after they got in the promised land. And he said, Joshua, give me this mountain. I was just 85 years old, just a whippersnapper, you know. And he said to Joshua, give me this mountain. Well, now there's giants. The sons of Anak are in that mountain at Hebron. There's those giants still there, Brother Wampler. Did that make him any difference? Why, not on your life. He didn't think any more about those giants than you would ticks on your dog. You know, you just pick them off and go on. Isn't that what you do? Well, you'll douse a little powder on them, but they'll live over it. He didn't think anything about those giants. He said, they're just bread for us. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to get this story. I like that fellow Caleb. He was a man of faith. You know, he has a special place in my heart. Caleb came to Joshua and he said, Joshua, give me this mountain. Now, Joshua probably looked back several years now, and he remembered that their right talking, Caleb and Joshua, their right talking got them the victory, and the right talking helped them to get into the promised land. And yet, he wanted to test old Caleb a little bit further. So he said, there are giants in the land. There's giants up there. He said, I don't care. He said, I was 40 years old when I went in to spy out the land, and that was 45 years ago. He said, I'm just as strong today as I was 45 years ago. You know, when we get 45 today, people start telling us, yeah, you're going to start feeling those aches and pains. Well, I'm 45 now, and I feel a few aches and pains, but I'm still ready to run through a troop and jump over a wall, because my God is still my anointer. He's still my God, my Heavenly Father, and I'm still going strong because of His grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God. He said, I'm 85 years old now, but that doesn't make no difference. He said, that doesn't make me no mind. He said, I'm as strong now as I was then. To go in, to come out, to go to war, to take on giants, it doesn't make any difference. He said, just send them at me. Friends, that's what you and I need to be saying about the devil and about his giants and about the mountains in our road. Said, it doesn't make any difference how many mountains I face, how many giants are on that mountain. My God says, if I'll just say that this mountain shall be removed, it shall be done. If we'll have faith in God, I don't care what your problems are. I don't care what your mountain is. My God says that you will be an overcomer if you'll just talk right. Amen. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. So Caleb told Joshua, he said, give me that mountain. Now notice what he said. These are his words. I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. He said now in verse 12, now therefore, give me this mountain. You see, he asked for that mountain 45 years ago. And God said he could have it. And 45 years came, and all of his brothers and sisters and all the whole congregation of the adults died in the wilderness. But he never did forget that mountain. He said, my God is going to give it to me. And brother, he had faith that he was going to acquire it, and he went in as strong. I can see him as he went in. He said, come on down, giant. Just come on down. And they came down, and he faced them one by one. He and his kids, I want you to know, he made havoc of them.
Right.
He said, hey, you giant, you're no problem for me. And he cut him down. Brother, he took the mountain for God, because
right.
God said he could
Hallelujah.
Have it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God said he could have it, and he took it, praise the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Praise now, as we believe, as we as believers, we should talk faith and not doubt. You believe it?
Amen.
Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, Jimmy Swaggart told a story one time, and I heard the story. He said he was down in the Lone Star State holding a revival. How many know where the Lone Star State is? Bigger than any state. That is, except one little one up north. The big state of Texas. And Jimmy Swaggart said, I was down there preaching this revival every night for 4 weeks. He said there was a little old woman that came up after me every night, and she was taking her handkerchief and she just twisting that thing. He said, Brother Swaggart, she said, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I've already had one and I'm going to have another. He said, I kept waiting for her to have that breakdown. Next night she'd come up and say, Brother Swaggart, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I take 4 pills a day, 1 at 9, 1 at 11, 1 at 2, and whenever the other one was, I don't know. And she'd just ring that hanky. He said, I preached that full 4 weeks and said I got so aggravated at that little old woman because she is grumbling and griping and telling about all of her sickness, and she's going to, he said she never would have that nervous breakdown. I kept waiting for it, but it didn't come. And said one night along the end of the revival, said I got so frustrated at her. He said I turned to her and there she was just following. He said she just followed right along behind me like a little puppy dog, just squealing, you know, and going through all of this commotion. He said I turned to her when I got so tired of that and said, would you shut up? He said her mouth flew open and her uppers fell on her lowers. He said I felt really quite bad about that. He said he went home and went to bed, the motel or wherever it was. And he said early the next morning, bright and early. You know how some people, they get up 5 o'clock, brother. And if you're in bed at 6, my, you just sleep too long. You see, my wife was still up going at 3 this morning. Now, that's a little bit later than usual, but 12 and 1 o'clock is not unusual for her. But she gets a lot done in the night. Brother Swagger said he went home and he went to bed and said early the next morning, said the telephone rang and said voice on the other line, the other end of the line, said, it works! It works! And he said, what works?